Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews, a remote edition today. I'm John Schaefer. Aaron Lee Tastjian may be a child of the 90s, but his music sure is full of older sounds. The psychedelia and folk music of the 60s, the glam rock of the 70s. His new album may be his most revealing yet. At least, I hope it is. After all, it's called Tastjian, Tastjian, Tastjian. Aaron Lee Tastjian joins us today to play some of those songs, solo but not unplugged. Here he is with a tune called Up All Night.
Saved up all my money, then blew all of my money. I really don't care. Staying up all night could be good or it could be bad for you. It's gonna be alright, or it won't be. I broke up with my boyfriend, go out with my girlfriend. 'Cause love is like, love is like, love is like that. 'Cause love is like, love is like that. Staying up all night, it could be good or it could be bad for you. It's gonna be alright, or it won't. Said you might have a problem, but I really can't, tell. No, I really can't tell. Staying up all night, it could be good or it could be bad for you. It's gonna be alright, or it won't be. Staying up all night, it could be good or it could be bad for you. It's gonna be alright, or it won't be.
That's called Up All Night, live performance from my guest Aaron Lee Tastjian, joining us from Nashville, Music City, Tennessee. Aaron, great to have you with us.
Thanks, John. So great to be here, man.
So Up All Night, man, some quick changes of guitar sound there for one guy with an electric guitar in a room. That's nicely done.
Thanks.
Obviously on the record, big full band sound, kind of Tom Petty-ish,
sure.
It seems to me. Yeah?
Definitely, yeah.
And the album, which comes out tomorrow, is called Tastjian, Tastjian, Tastjian. So I have several questions about that. The first of which is, what kind of name is Tastjian? It sounds Armenian to me.
And that's absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, what happened was my great-grandmother, who was Irish, was engaged, betrothed, in fact. This is in the days when you were betrothed. So she was betrothed to a fellow in Ireland whose last name was Donahue. But she started having an affair with this Armenian guy named Tastian and became pregnant, and she didn't know who the dad was. So she came to America, had my grandfather, and found it was really hard to be a single mom, and she was living in Philadelphia, found it really hard to be a single mom in Philadelphia. So she put my grandfather in a school for boys. And when she put him in the school, they said, what's his name, you know? And she said, Tastian, because I think that's, we all think that's the guy who she was in love with, and that's who she was hoping the father was. But we're like, just, you can take one look at me and know that I'm Irish. I mean, it's as clear as can be, you know? So it's a funny story about how we got our last name, but we love it, man. You know, I mean, our family will take any chance that we can get to be one degree of separation from the Kardashians, you know? So whatever it takes, we're willing to do it, you know?
Well, now the other and perhaps more serious question about Tastian, when you use your own name three times as the title of your record, it suggests
an ego problem.
It at least suggests that you, Aaron Lee Tastian, are perhaps the subject of this record. Is that in fact the case?
You know what? That is, I will say, that is 100% accurate, I think. In fact, we did record about 22 songs for the record. And out of those, I just chose which ones I felt were really moving me. And they happened to be the ones where I was singing about me. So, you know, it was not intentional from the get-go, but once I realized that was happening, that became the intention, very much so.
So one of the songs on the record is called Feminine Walk.
Yeah.
And what have you been told you have a feminine walk?
Well, you know, when I was a little tiny kid, I was probably maybe 7 or 8 years old, I want to say, or I might have been a little bit older, but old enough to remember this vividly. My family was on vacation in Wisconsin, and me and my dad were standing on the street corner, and an older, much cooler looking teenage kid started approaching us. I was immediate, like, he had some skateboard stuff on, and I was immediately just like, I like this guy. I don't know why I like this guy, but he looks dangerous and I like him. And he came up to us and he said to my dad, he goes, hey man. And my dad was like, yeah, you know, and he pointed at me and he said, is that a boy or a girl?
Whoa.
You know, and my dad laughed, you know, and still loves to laugh about that to this day. But, you know, I remember even as a little kid thinking, like, how did he know? You know, like, how, you know, like, a part of you does wonder, like, you know, how was like a 15, 16 year old, you know, like skater kid from, you know, Wisconsin so perceptive? I don't know. Or maybe he wasn't, you know, and it just was one of those things that happened. But it always made me think, like, did he just see me walking down the street and know? And that's where that idea of, like, I got a feminine walk kind of hit me.
So as a kid, you were a walking David Bowie song. You were Rebel Rebel.
I kind of, yeah, man, I was, you know.
Coming undone at the seams again. One look, two look, three look, four. Every time I'm at the bathroom door. They've seen Bowie and Bolin and Jagger too. Grease Jones, Joan Jett, and Tu Wong Fu. I got a feminine walk. I got a feminine walk.
Well, in the song, you mention Bolin and Bowie and Grace Jones and, you know, these musicians who their whole presentation was ignoring or blowing past the usual kind of gender definitions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that there's something very appealing about breaking out of kind of restrictions that way. I mean, that's rock and roll, right? Isn't it
man,
what rock's all about?
Totally. Yeah. I think, you know, and if you can tell the truth at the same time that you're doing that, I think that's even better. You know, it's mm-hmm. when you ask to be seen, See, that's the kind of what I feel like I'm doing in that song. I'm sort of asking to be seen, you know? When you ask to be seen like that, I think you're also standing up for the other people in your community that are that need to be seen too, you know? And that is one of the ways I feel like, you know, music can show us the great humanity that we all have in common, you know?
Well, and you know, that was one of the great attractions of Mark Bolan,
totally,
aka T-Rex, and David Bowie in the 1970s, was you just had to feel like you were somehow an outsider.
Totally.
And there was this person on stage sort of celebrating his or her outsiderness.
Totally.
You know? And that, yeah. They're kind of before your time, but I guess, as you say, you know, that's a feeling that still has, unfortunately, a lot of relevance and resonance today.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I connected with music from older generations as a very young person, you know. In fact, when I was 15 years old, I wrote a song for every year the school administrators on the anniversary of Columbine would have a day to kind of remember what happened there, and then also say, look, man, we got to watch out for each other in the, you know, in the hallways at school. We got to make sure people aren't picking on other people, you know, just a general well-being sort of thing. And so I wrote a song about peace, you know, just a folk, you know, total 60s style folk song. So I played it at the assembly and ended up in this like local newspaper in school for doing it. And Peter Yarrow happened to be coming to Ohio because he'd just written a song called Don't Laugh at Me about not bullying kids in school.
Just to be clear, Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Exactly. That's the dude. Yeah, Puff the Magic Dragon, man. And so they asked me if I would go sing my song before he gave his performance. So I went and I was 15 years old, man. I went and I sang this little song that I wrote, and Peter Yarrow loved it and invited me up on stage, and I sang harmony on Blowing in the Wind with him. And my parents were losing their minds because this is like...
He's an icon, yeah.
He's the Madonna of their time, you know what I mean? It's like they can't believe like Peter Yarrow is like being like, you know, your son is a really nice young man, and, you know, I really enjoyed his song and blah, 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 you know. So... like in that later on, about a year later, maybe, I sort of re-hooked up with Peter and ended up performing with him again, like, because he started doing these conferences sort of all over the place. And so, you know, I kind of like became friendly with him. But like, even at 15, man, and every song that I knew at that time on the guitar, I mean, maybe with the exception of like Wonderwall or something like that, every other song that I knew was by Simon and Garfunkel or the Beatles or, you know, I was a really big Mamas and Papas fan, you know. I just loved that kind of stuff. And then my mom, you know, she was such a fan of like pop music, you know, like I also got, you know, really simple, almost bubblegum kind of songs like Sugar by the Archies and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? And I loved it, man. I, as a kid, like that was way up my alley, you know? And I, honestly, I think you can kind of hear a little bit of that on my record. There is some of that kind of sunny, bouncy, kind of poppy sort of thing to it, you know?
This artificial pain, my little avatar. I'll never know who you really are. Digital clouds and guiding stars on the computer of love.
There are some tracks where you hear it more than others, but
sure.
Then there are other tracks like Computer of Love, which definitely has that pop sheen to it. But when you get below that glossy surface, you get a kind of wry, ambivalent look at at what you and I are doing right now, you know, communicating on screens with each other and stuff like that. So what has your experience of being a working musician on little Zoom screens, what has that experience been like for you?
It's different, you know, it's a lot different. And, you know, what I've been learning is how much I really valued being part of a crowd is something that I really miss. You know what I mean? Yeah. Standing next to some guy that I don't know, but it's just like Paul Westerberg's up there, man. So we may as well be in like the same family or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, and I miss that. I miss feeling connected to people I don't know like that, because even though it's like you and I, you know, don't know each other, but like we're able to connect like this, which is amazing.
Yep.
And I'm very grateful to be having this conversation with you right now. But I know that probably something, you know, different would be happening if you and I were standing in the Bowery Ballroom right now, you know, waiting for Patti Smith to, you know, come on or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, Patti Smith was the last person I saw play live.
Wow. I mean, can't do better than that.
Funny you should mention her.
Can't do better than that, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the annual Tibet House benefit. She was leading the whole gang in a performance of People Have the Power. And when I say gang, I mean like Iggy Pop, Philip Glass, yeah. Laurie Anderson, Phoebe Bridgers. I mean, it was just astonishing.
If you like that kind of thing, you know.
If you like that kind of thing. No,
that's amazing, man. That's really cool.
But yeah, so that's getting on close to a year ago. So crazy times.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. The next song you're going to do for us, Sunday Women, you describe this as a song about women who are trouble. The Joan Jets, the Joan of Arcs, all the Joans, right?
That's right, yeah. Joni, from Joni Loves Chachi, she's in there for sure.
Okay. Sunday Women is the name of it. It's a live performance from my guest, Aaron Lee Tastian.
All right, we'll do this one for you. Sunday Women, thanks for hanging out.
Whatever happened to Sunday women? Whatever happened to Sunday women? Sunday women are hard to find. Sunday women don't break hearts like mine. And when you're with them, the stars align. Whatever happened to Sunday women? Whatever happened to Sunday come true? But now I sit here with the Monday blues. Whatever happened to Sunday women? Whatever happened to Sunday women? Sunday women, whatever happened.
happened to Sunday women? Whatever happened to Sunday women? Whatever happened to Sunday women? Whatever happened to Sunday women? Yeah, man, Sunday women.
That's Aaron Lee Tastian with a performance, solo obviously, of his song Sunday Women, which you will find on the brand new album called Tastian, 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 which comes out tomorrow, and which is full, Aaron, of all kinds of different kind of musical references. You mentioned before, glam rock, classic pop. The song Another Lonely Day, to me at least, has echoes of, I don't know, the kind of early psychedelia of Syd Barrett's solo records after he left Pink Floyd. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
I am. I'm a big Syd fan, man.
That kind of observing things from an oblique angle, the way he used to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I got dressed in what's left of my clean clothes.
I think because in my own way, on at least on social media, I've kind of tried to be like the diet sprite of Twitter, if you will. Like, we get these impressions of each other from our social media. So everybody probably thinks like, man, I'm just like the most positive, like uplifting dude. And I try to be positive and uplifting, but like, I'm also a songwriter and it's my job to say how I really feel, you know? So like there are songs on this record that are coming from some of those darker places too. But I think having both of those things present is just like a truer picture of like the human experience kind of, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting hearing these songs the way you're doing them for us, just you with the guitar after hearing the record, you know,
yeah,
with the
sure.
full on band sure. sound. Because in some of the songs, you get to hear the guitar part, obviously, a lot more clearly, and I'm hearing things that I didn't pick up on in the record. For example, this next song, Don't Overthink It, has some, you know, the guitar is kind of finger-picked in the verses, and then, you know, it has this neat open string sound. And unlike the record, which has this kind of spacey electric guitar solo, you end with an almost modal folk sounding guitar thing, which puts me in mind of like Robbie Basho, John Fahey. Again, you're nodding. So are these people whose music you've listened to and kind
definitely,
of fallen under the spell
definitely.
Of?
Definitely. I mean, when I was in like the seventh grade or the eighth grade or something like that, that Dave Matthews record Live at Luther College came out that has Tim Reynolds playing all over it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I got really into Tim Reynolds. So I found a lot of those, like when I started listening to that kind of like instrumental guitar music, I found a lot of those other guys like through that sort of portal. But also, I'll say one that probably a lot of people won't think of, but this is absolutely true. Some of those riffs in there, at least one of them, I will say, is something that I directly took from Ray Wiley Hubbard.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's a totally different...
I know, isn't it? Well, you know, I got to tour with Ray Wiley Hubbard for a long time. He was the guy who was responsible for me getting my first booking agent because I opened a show for him in Nashville, and he and his booking agent were standing on the side of the stage while I was playing, and I guess at the end of the set, he turned to his booking agent and said, "You gotta book this guy," you know? So she did, God bless her. And that gave me my start, but I spent a long time on the road with Ray, so I absorbed a lot of things that he would do guitar playing wise, because when you go to see Ray, it's just him and another guitar player, or just him and a drummer. It's not a full band really ever. So he's doing a lot of that kind of stuff to fill space in a cool way.
All right, interesting. Well, let's hear this performance. The song is "Don't Overthink It," kind of a self-explanatory title, from Aaron Lee Tastian.
Don't overthink it, don't overthink it. You'll never get that little trinket. You'll take your ship of dreams and sink it. Don't overthink it. Don't fall to pieces, don't fall to pieces. See you in hell before it freezes. Save me a seat right next to Jesus. Don't fall to pieces. Boy, got around once or twice. Had my heart in a vice. There's a hurting in store. Boy, got a bottle of wine. Been a lot of free time I've been spending alone. Don't be a stranger, don't be a stranger. Don't be the dog in the manger. Love yourself and love your neighbor. Don't be a stranger. It doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. We're climbing up the same old ladder. I know the bad is getting badder. It doesn't matter. Been around once or twice. Had my heart in a vice. There's a hurting in store. Boy, gotta own what you done. Living under the gun. Don't excuse it no more. Boy, got a bottle of wine. In a lot of free time I've been spending alone. Boy, every door that you shut, every corner you cut, go straight to the bone.
Overthink It is the name of that solo performance from Aaron Lee Tastian, and it's on the new album, Tastian, in a quite different version with the full band, but I really do like that solo at the end. You know, it really goes into kind of some places that are different from what's on the record. The record ends with a song called Got What I Wanted.
Mm.
Now, we've already established that a lot of this album is sort of inwardly directed, you know, personal feelings, etc. What did you want from this record, and what did you get from it?
Oh, that's a cool question. I really wanted to do something that felt like the most me that I'd ever been. You know, I had a pretty serious conversation with New West before the album, and at one point I said to them, what is one thing that I've never given you? And they said to me, well, you've never really had a song that we've been able to really drive the point home with at radio.
Hmm.
So that was a part of the challenge too, was trying, and I'm sure as you know, like, to, you know, to consider that as an artist can sometimes be very perilous, you know.
Absolutely.
And you kind of want to stay in that place of like, let me show these people what I can do. That is the more, I think, humble and beautiful place to like come from with a lot of this stuff. And like, that's what I felt like heroes of mine, like, you know, Bruce Springsteen and people like that always did. It was always about like, I'm going to go get my audience mm-hmm. and bring them to me. I'm not going to wait for a guy in an office to figure out how to do that for me or whatever, you know? So all of that to say, it was a record that I wanted to be able to take a personal stake in, you know, in a big way. And I feel like that is what I got out of it. Whatever it sells, however people perceive it, you know, I got to make a record that's unabashedly me, and I love that, and all due credit to New West for allowing me to do that.
The only thing that could make it better would be if you could actually go out and get that audience, right?
I know, right, man? The irony of doing that right now, like, oh, yeah. Lord.
One little rectangle at a time, Aaron.
That's right, John. That's all we can do, man, these days.
Gosh. Well, it'll happen hopefully sooner rather than later. And I hope we get a chance to do this again with the band in our studio in New York. But it's been great spending some time with you. Aaron Lee Tastian, the new album called Tastian, out tomorrow. Aaron, thanks very much.
John, thank you, my brother. Stay safe and well.
Got what I wanted.
Got What I Wanted is the closing track from the album by Aaron Lee Tastian. You can watch the videos of Aaron's performances for us either on our website, newsounds.org, or on our YouTube channel. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, our producer Karen Havlick, our video editor is David McLean, and I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.
Never knew it would feel just a little too.